This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everyone. Hour number two continues to roll along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, Josh Schmidt hanging out with you here today. And, of course, our show is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. I've been doing so good all day.
Hey,
all day. Do you know that it's the 10th anniversary of the Sabres versus Coyotes, that game? Why don't you enlighten everybody on that game?
I don't need to enlighten many people on this, though it is something important for this station and the ramifications afterwards. But obviously 10 years ago, the tank season, we had fans straight up cheering that this team should lose games. We had champions of this station itself asking this team to lose in any way possible, try to land themselves Connor McDavid. And it comes to a head on this night in 2015. An overtime loss to the Arizona Coyotes. And fans audibly cheering that goal. I don't necessarily believe in the karmic retribution of things. But if it exists, can we stop and let it go?
Can we
let it die now? It's been 10 years. I think we've been through enough.
Did other teams cheer for losses that year? I feel like Edmonton did.
Not as loudly.
No, yeah. I think
it was very shameless in a sense.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Do what you want to do. I wasn't a fan of it, personally.
No, and I think it's looked worse as the team has not gotten any better.
Correct. It's looked worse because for 10 more years they have been effectively no closer to getting through anything of a long-term build. That said, I mean, it happened. It's not something that, like, it's not shameful in a sense. Like, yeah, it was a little obnoxious. A lot of people saying the quiet part out loud kind of thing. It's like if you wink at somebody and you go, wink.
Yeah.
But it's just one of these things where, like, I don't know necessarily if it needs to, like, yeah, I guess that 10 years ago, it's a big deal, you know, it's a 10-year anniversary or something.
But if you're a certain fan, which I think those fans have actually grown too as the 10 years have gone on, that was a dark day for Sabres fandom.
And I would agree with it. It's just, at the same point, I also knew that they were going to lose anyway, so why did I bother?
Right.
Like, I accepted that, this team is built to be bad.
And they are shameless about it. They continue to do things to stay bad.
Yeah, and the team was shameless about it. I don't need to match that energy.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that played into it?
No.
I was going to say, like, looking back, not necessarily trying to, like, change history.
I understood what Jeremy was trying to say about that and why the tank necessarily was created.
Mm-hmm.
It's that the team did it first. To which, that's the point where I will always hold Tim Murray in some form of, like, contempt, is I hate that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it has to do with how he threw his attitude into it.
Yeah.
Of openly being mad when you didn't win the draft lottery, for example. Being overly brazen. There's no coincidence that he's never worked in hockey since then.
Which is... It feels
that's
like
what
par,
happens when,
it feels par for the course for like any Sabres management person last few years.
Bottrell's an AGM in Seattle.
Yep, Bottrell. Yep.
So and Bottrell, something like it's a legitimate argument. Bottrell was worse here as a general manager. Murray, it is because he was so loud about tanking. It is an unforgivable sin in sport. Like we say what we want. We're not part of the actual team and organization itself. Tim Murray has never worked in hockey yet.
Yeah, because he said the quiet part out loud and loudly.
Yes. He said the quiet part too loudly.
Mm-hmm.
What we say here is one thing. It's an entertainment business. In the sense of, hey, we're here to just try to make things feel better. This team's going to be awful. Why not just have fun with it?
Yeah, let's get excited for the generational prospect that is coming down the pipe. Oh, and you can watch him in Erie all year if you want to.
Yeah. And, oh, by the way, we'll have him in Buffalo, too.
For the combine, right?
No, for a game.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
They hosted him for an Erie Otters game.
That's right.
Again, shameless. It's one thing for media to do that. It's one thing for a radio station to do that. It's another one the team did it.
Yep.
And that's why we've never seen Tim Murray in the light of day ever again. No, it's also because of his drafting. It was poop.
Yes. Sabres did get a nice win, though, last night, 3-2 in Dylan Cousins' return to Buffalo. Did get an assist, though, on one of the goals. I believe it was the opening goal.
Yeah.
Sabres, though, did obviously get the 3-2 win. Thompson, Bernard Docker, and Jack Quinn with the goals.
No big deal. Just point per game, JBD.
Two assists.
One
over
big
the weekend?
NBD for me.
Won the trade?
Won the trade.
Now Josh North is still hurt. I have no idea what's going on there.
It's tough, but I'm glad that he's at least trying to fight. Not fight through it necessarily, but like he wants to return by the end of season.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to shut it down, and that's good
because
that means like it's not as terrible maybe.
Right.
I don't know. I'm being an optimist.
803-0550, the number to call. We were talking a lot on the Bills today, especially talking about Stephon Diggs going to New England and what that means. Also, James Cook. Obviously, always a fun topic. Do you maybe trade him at the draft? I don't think it's all that likely. We did take a call in the last segment, and we'll continue to do that here as Denny is next up. Denny, how are we doing today?
Doing well. Just quick on the Sabres before I talk about Cook. If you believe in a Jack Eichel curse, just think about how the fact that we finally got two first overall draft picks and they ended up being defensemen. I don't think there's ever been a team that got stuck like that. But when it comes to Cook, first I want to say he's great. He's not elite. He is a product of his own environment. When you think about, when you're within the 20-yard line, Cook is secondary to the defenses. Everybody's paying attention to Josh. He, like you mentioned, his offensive line has been together pretty much his whole career, and they've been healthy. So they help push down the field so he gets the extra yardage. So while I do think that he's worth it, there's only a couple, or not worth it, he's a great guy, but there's only a couple of running backs, like you mentioned, that make more money than him, and, Henry makes less. So at 15 mil, I just don't think it's worth it. Our number one running back is Josh. Ray Davis is going to be able to fill that role as well. So I think there's a lot of running backs that will be able to step in and, take that role.
Yeah, Denny, thanks for the call. And I like that, too. He is sort of like maybe a victim of his environment, too, because like Denny brought up there, like Allen's the main threat. within the 20s, like, that's the guy you're watching.
Yes.
Now, Cook had amazing plays, and I will go to my grave with this. If the Bills win the AFC Championship, that James Cook touchdown, he's already been paid.
He already has the contract.
I fully believe everyone's already been paid, 100%. and they're just like, it's Super Bowl tax. Win or lose the game, it doesn't matter. You got there for the first time since the early 90s with this group, with how good the vibes were. They're not touching it. Yep. They are not breaking that up. Everyone gets exactly what they wanted, or at least close to it, to at least, you know, fit it into the system, you know, with somewhat being smart. I don't even think we're having discussions. That was going to be one of the plays of the last 25
immortalized
years of Bills fandom.
Effectively, Space Jam stretches his arm out and gets it to the goal line.
That was going to be one of the plays, and it probably, I think, for a lot of us still will end up being that. Is that's a play you talk about to your grandkids of, like, where were you when that happened, when James Cook has to lunge forward, arm on the ground, not his elbows not touching
on
the ground.
On fourth down.
On fourth down as he reaches into the end zone. That's a generational play where, yeah, you remember that. So I and maybe that's the shame of it. Like that's the horrible kind of irony of it all. He has this unbelievable play that should go down in Bill's lore. He doesn't, and now this may be his last year on the team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is crazy to think about that. I will say, though, with Ray Davis, had a solid rookie year. I wonder how much that Jets game, the one Cook misses, has really done a lot of favors for Ray Davis in terms of Bills fans' idea of him. I do think he is part of their future plans, don't get me wrong. But his yards per carry was under 4. And he really only has the one great game. You could argue 2. San Francisco is a good game for him as well. But it's the Jets game. 20 carries, 97 yards. He also has 3 catches for 55 yards. I mean, like, who the hell is this guy?
Right.
Like, it popped off out of nowhere. And this is also coming off of James Cook being a fantasy darling for the first month or so of the season. I mean, the Miami game, they effectively don't need to do anything except give James Cook the ball. He has 3 touchdowns in the first half.
Which was like the second time in less than a calendar year where you're just like, here, give the ball to James Cook.
Yeah, just let him. Yeah, let him go do it. Josh can just hang out. Dallas. I wonder how much that game has sort of set the precedent of, like, they'll be fine. They've got this dude ready to go. He's a little bit older. Maybe that makes it healthier for you not to, like, have to really, you know, kind of mentally, you know, wrestle yourself in terms of, like, do we pay him, do we not? He'll be like 28 when his second contract comes up. That kind of tells you don't.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about it that much, but he really only has 2 kind of big games, San Francisco being the other one in the snow, 11 carries, 63 yards, and a touchdown. But to me, it was really that Jets game where it was like, oh, who is this guy? He's a stud. We've got 2 running backs who are ones. Maybe that's not totally true, but that was the feeling leaving that Jets game. Was like, we are fine.
Right.
We couldn't be more than fine. We've got a guy that's making big plays everywhere.
If Allen is not there to carry everything for the day, we've got James Cook.
Right. Let's go back to the line. Dan is next up. Dan, you're on WGR.
All right, guys. I'm going to use your own ammo. I'm going to act like I'm related to Cook or his agent.
There we go.
So right. Obviously, McDermott has loved running backs, right? He was known. He came here with a 3 yard and a cloud of dust. We've always gotten a running back. I don't like this narrative that we can fill in anyone because no one has done what he did. And he's really only played 2 years because McDermott didn't really use him the first year. He plays in a 3 rotation, right? So 44% of the snaps leads the league in touchdowns. Now, you want to use Saquon and Henry, right? At low-hanging fruit, he doesn't compare. 7 running backs cast it off from last year. 7. So that's not like, you know, an anomaly or like a quinky dink. They all made the playoffs. Every like that mm-hmm. year 30 mm-hmm. where they go downhill, all 7 made the playoffs. And now everyone, the defenses go against the pass. Well, now the defense is a little more susceptible. And he's gotten better every year. And so every single year. So he's got no miles because he plays 44% of the snaps. He could do the 30, 40-yard runs. And then, but he's kind of small. Then, like you said, he's got that iconic run. And do we really want to hand off those touchdowns? Because I agree, he's not going to get 18. But 18, Saquon, he's not getting 1 yard runs, Cook. And do we want Josh really at 3rd and 5 just willing the ball? Because he will. If no one else can do it, Josh will do it. Do we really want him getting touchdowns in the middle of, you know, the AFC East schedule against the Jets in Miami? Because we don't want to lose. Cook is just, he's always gotten better. And he doesn't say 15. That's what people say in negotiating. So the Bills will say 10. So it's going to be 13. Is he not better than Gabe Davis? Is he not more worth than Palmer? He's got more touchdowns in 1 year than Gabe Davis has in his whole life. Gabe's done nothing since he went to Jacksonville. You know, so we like to develop. That's what being says, right? We draft, develop, and then resign. But we also know to get rid of Edmonds, But Edmonds did have two Pro Bowls before 24, but we didn't keep him. I get it. But Cook is just, he's not as easy to replace as you make it seem out to be. He's just not. It's not that simple. A lot of teams have good lines, and they don't get 18 touchdowns out of a guy with 44% of the snaps. So he's got no wear and tear. And the money, 3 years, $39 million, you give him, what, 25 guaranteed? Is that not worth more than Gabe Davis from 2 years ago? I don't know. I don't think it's that simple. We'll just get a fourth rounder and plug him in. And yeah. I love Ray Davis.
Yeah, Dan, I like your point. Thanks for the call.
What he said to end that was, it's not that simple. You're absolutely right.
100%. I think that's right. And yeah, they could draft a complete bust who can't read a hole to save. Like, Trent Richardson was a top five pick. Dude couldn't
Trent
read.
Trent Richardson was fourth overall. And then also another team traded a first rounder to acquire him.
But to your point, you're bringing up 44% of the snaps as a good thing, right? No wear and tear. That's absolutely a positive thing. I look at that as more the Bills don't totally trust him to be a mainstay of their offense.
I will say it.
What's his pass blocking?
I will say.
Why is he always off? If he's this good that we're going to pay him $13 million a year, he needs to be on the field way more. Way more.
And I would say it more of, if he's playing 44% of the snaps, why should I give him $15 million? The price is right. Get James Cook back in here. Absolutely, 1,000%. I want to make sure I say that.
And I'm glad Dan did bring up the point, too. The 15 is just the starting price.
You want to
it's
try
the
to
number
start
that
high.
We hear.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's the start of the
we
negotiation.
We don't know what the Bills are trying
down.
To offer in any negotiations.
Right,
those
right.
are closed doors. So I think it'll be fine.
Yep. 803-0550, the number two call. Rob, we'll try to get you here after a quick timeout, though it's going to have to be pretty darn quick. This is WGR.